Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor. Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson. Ava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Valentainment.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Susie going toe to Tobin.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Kelly Grant, the Grandmaster.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hello.
So good to see you. This is on, right?
This is amazing. Our second night. Ronnie, I don't know about you. I'm a little parched. Are you a little parched?
I've been feeling under the weather all day, and I need my medicine.
Yeah, so. we need something to drink. Does anyone have anything to drink? Can someone bring anything to drink for us? Anyone?
Hopefully there's a doctor in the house.
Michael the Butler is coming up to the
America's Butler.
The man is not only my head twin and not only one of the hottest men in town. The man. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Everyone give it up for Michael the Butler.
I found a sexy man that will make me a drink. I am living here from now on. I'm never.
And of course, Miss Patricia, right here in the front row. Yes. Yes, Captain. Yes. I have to say, Ronnie, I've waited 5 years, 5 long years, to try a Michael Martini. Gosh. That is heaven in a glass.
Man, this is fantastic. This is good. Please come up here all night. Don't feel like you need to be invited.
The hype is real.
Some shit low, get your ass up here.
And also, what you might not be able to see is this wonderful stir. It's like a little alligator or a duck. It's adorable.
The man really has an amazing kit that he brings.
It's amazing. Thank
My
you,
question
Michael.
Is, what the fuck is wrong with Los Angeles? I've never met a man like that. Ever, ever. And I look, okay, I have the internet. This is amazing being in a real theater. I don't know what the hell you people were thinking even letting us in here. This is crazy.
Yeah.
This is so fancy. I was like, where are people going to throw up?
I know. This is actually like a non-profit theater. It's just like 3 people who run it. So like I'm sure they have like a donation thing. So go support your local theaters, people. So thank you for having us.
Yes. Make out with one of them. They're all hot. This is not
they
an
are.
Ugly company. I'm going to tell you that right now. Everyone here is adorable.
Also, I'm already drunk from this martini. I'm proud to say.
I literally am too. Like because I've been drinking less. So now I'm just like on this drinking binge because I'm here. And I'm really shaking. Like I feel shaky
right now.
I'm shaking.
Right now I'm shaking.
It's like, look. Welcome home. My cells are coming back to life. Oh! It's like, oh, Jesus. What is that, you?
It's the martini. It literally was. I brought the martini up and I was like,
So you guys are such freaks, all of you, who come out to these shows.
Oh my God.
We love you for it. Yesterday, Patricia was telling us, we heard noise out there, and we can't... There's people outside all day long, you know. Michael's out there saying hi and being awesome, so thank you, guys. Thomas Ravenel was on Instagram, whatever he's on. And
do not do that while I have Michael's martini in my mouth. I do not want to spit out this precious gold.
Please refrain from double tapping while you're in that app. Thanks.
Yeah.
So he was on there, and he's like, you know, I feel like a Beatle. It's Beatlemania. He was at some bar, and everybody was, like, going crazy and asking for his autograph. So my only request is, please don't do that with rapists, yeah. Okay? Please. Like, let's have some levels in our fandom, all of us, as a group, together, collectively, okay?
What bar was he at? What bar
Uncle
was
Rapey, somebody just
Uncle
screamed.
Uncle Rapey. Oh, God bless T-Rap.
Look, I'm mad. This is how I warm up. I get furious about something.
Let him have his
process. What do I have to be mad about? Like, I'm so happy. This is going to be a terrible show.
We are truly having the most amazing time here in Charleston. This is now, like, day three for us. The food is amazing. I'm obsessed. We didn't mention it, but we went to Naomi's uncle's restaurant, Nico, on Wednesday. It's fabulous. It's great times.
We met the new boyfriend.
Oh my God, he is so hot. Everyone...
I thought hot doctors were only on TV. I've never had a hot doctor.
Yeah.
What the hell? Why is everyone else getting hot things happening in their life? You know? My doctor is disgusting. I was like, didn't I give you a dollar outside of a grocery store before Christmas?
My doctor has Tourette's, and it's not even a joke. Like, he'll be like, well, what's wrong with you? And it's like very jarring. That's like a real thing that happens every time I get a physical. I'm like, Anyway, this martini is great. Thanks.
No, thanks for coming. So tonight, you know, we're in Charleston, so we had to do something special. Last night was Below Deck.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun.
It was great.
You guys sold that out so fast. We didn't think anybody would come to this. I looked at the map.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm such an idiot. It took me forever to even find it on a map. I was like, how does this work? You know?
Yeah.
I'm like trying to roll it around. It's flat, Ronnie. You know?
Yeah. he has a flat globe.
And I was like, it's so tiny. Like, let's just go hang out with Michael and Patricia, you know? We'll get a little 100-seat thing.
And that would have been enough, guys, honestly.
You guys sold it, and so now we're in a theater!
Yeah. Yeah, we've never had something like this. The first Charleston show sold out in 60 seconds. So, Crappin's listeners are truly the best. So, thank you, guys. Applaud yourselves.
So we had to do something special for this, our last night here. So we thought, what are we going to do? It has to be something Southern Charm. But we've already covered all the Southern Charms, you know? So it's like, what do we go back and cover? And Ben said, let's go do the beginning.
Yeah,
and I was like, no,
episode.
Didn't I just say that everybody was a rapist and a sexual... Actually, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Because you know my favorite thing to say is, I told you. I fucking told you.
Yep. Yep.
Go listen back to the entire first season. Nailed it!
Did you guys all watch it? Did you guys watch it into the test? How funny was it? How amazing was it to go back? Was that crazy? How much shit was foreshadowed in that one episode? That's like some next level. That was like... That is art right there. That is art on Bravo.
So, we're going back to episode number one.
Number one, the series premiere of Southern Charm.
Bum, bum, ba-dum, bum, ba-dum, ba-dum. The best music on Bravo.
Yeah.
And we open with Mr. Thomas Ravenel.
Yeah.
And his Mayor Hands.
Mayor Hands.
Mayor Hands.
Mayor Hands. Charleston special. We have our ways here. In terms of our being genteel and our customs.
And our customs, yeah. He's doing that politician thing where not only does he do mayor hands, he just makes the dumbest sentences you've ever heard. Yeah. We have our way of customarily being genteel when it comes to the ladyship of the kinship. Street cobbled stuff. It's like, what?
We're genteel here. Here, no means yes. Genteel.
Gentility. Sorry, but you know it's going to be 2 hours.
Sorry, this will be a very problematic episode.
So buckle your fucking seatbelts, okay?
And then the picture of gentility or gentility, whatever. He's like, we're very genteel here. And then it cuts to JD being like, wow! It's like a wild banshee.
I'm proud of JD for still being alive. That guy should have had a brain hemorrhage years ago. I mean, girl, that rosacea on his face. I was like, if this were an x-ray, I would declare you dead right now. I can't.
He has double cheek stigmatas.
So, yeah, JD dancing. Yeah. Okay, so then Whitney. Whitney, last night.
Everyone's like, how do we react? How do we react?
There's a small ruling entrenched minority of very established ruling families in old Charleston. And then it cuts to Shep. It's like, wait a second. The premiere of this show wasn't that long ago, and so people have not really aged all that much, you know? Well. Where I really saw it, and you know I love talking about age, I read people's lines on their face like tree rings. Like, that's my favorite thing to do, the lines on the ear. But what I've really seen in terms of aging, Cameron's eyebrows were crazy. What were those?
I didn't even notice that.
I feel like ladies give themselves away timing-wise with eyebrows. Like, now it's the threaded. It looks like you took a marker and just went like this on your fucking head. And Cameron's were like little commas. There was like a comma here, and then it got really thin here. And it kind of made sense because she's always doing, you know, like talking like in quotations, like, well, man here, you know.
Shepherd.
Yeah. I love that she's like doing finger quotes with her eyebrows as she talks. And then Shep. I mean, Shep looked like a drunk baby in this premiere.
I know.
Like an adorable drunk baby you just want to hug before you kick, you know? Like, you know you got to kick it because you got to raise your kid right. But you hug it first.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to sit here and listen to Ronnie rant all night. Because I feel like he's getting a lot off of his chest right now. And I'm like, I'm just happy to listen to it.
No, sorry, please. Oh, please.
No, I mean,
oh, no, please, please. This is exactly why I stopped drinking before shows.
Yeah.
Because when I was drinking before shows, he could be like, oh, well, that was nice. You were drunk. Now I can't say that until after minute 15.
Yeah. Minute two with these martinis. Aww. Oh.
I love you.
He just T-wrapped me.
This is not a place for love. Let's get the shit out of
here. This is not. So then, so we see Shep, and then of course we see...
I've had a long relationship with Charleston Garsh.
Garsh.
I won't commit to her.
Garsh. Garsh. I've been here for so many years and not having a job, Garsh.
I won't commit to Charleston, but I stick my weenie in her six times a week.
Garsh. And then we get a perspective from someone, a very acerbic wit, a sharp-minded individual. His name is Craig. Charleston. Charleston is a playground for men that never want to grow up. Have you ever played that game, jam the butter knife into the wall? So fun.
So weird seeing Craig in a suit.
Yeah, I like that.
He's like going to work. He's all confident. His legs are crossed. He's like a Citibank commercial, you know?
Back when we just assumed he was a lawyer. Back before we knew that it was possible to claim you were a lawyer for like 3 seasons and then not be a lawyer ever.
I don't know why it took me so long to figure it out, but it seemed like the past couple of years with all the Thomas stuff that's been so bad, it seems like, God, this show really turned into men who are just pigs. It started its show about men who are pigs. That's the whole point of the show.
Yeah.
Listen to the lyrics of the song.
Yeah.
And we get to that said cast at the Man Round Table, headed by...
Gentry.
Oh,
it's a time for gentlemen to be together and quote things by Jane Austen. It's a bunch of Darcys thinking about a bunch of Bennets, if you know what I'm saying.
So then, Cameron, we get our first shot of quotation mark eyes, and she's like, Southern man.
Shepherd.
Should not curse. And then we see Whitney talking to somebody in his head, and he's like, you're fucking ruining everything, mother. You're fucking ruining everything.
Fuck you, mother. Fuck you. You fuck you. You fuck yourself. Fuck yourself.
I will not stab that woman in the bathroom, mother. I love you. I'm so sorry. It's weird having you right there. And not only...
I feel like we're on very limited time. We're pushing our luck.
And not only are you right there, you're wearing like $19 million worth of diamonds. So you're like...
And dogs.
I'm like, look over her head, Ronnie. Look. And it's like... Wah!
There's also a lot of little dog faces looking at us, too. On the caftans.
Okay. So Cameron's like, calling someone a cocksucker. Think it's Thomas. Remember when Whitney pretended to take Thomas seriously in his political career?
You know, I remember back at the time when Whitney made that commercial, I was like, who the fuck does Whitney think he is? You think this is a commercial? And now I'm like, why did I never realize it was just the most amazing trolling of Thomas of all time? It was such an amazing trolling. We've grown so much. So Cameron's like, you know, a true Southern gentleman should know how to dress properly. I'm like doing Deandra. I'm like, mother, mother. We see Shep in a Speedo.
Yeah, they should always dress appropriately.
Someone said, ew.
You need a gay friend to teach you, like, vertical stripes. You know, like, okay.
And then we see this, like, really strange, like, potted plant. And I was like, oh, wait, that was Jenna. I totally forgot about her. I was like, hey, that's a nice fern. And so edgy. What an edgy plant.
This is Jenna through the whole thing. She's just like...
I'm a rebel.
Like, she's so amazing. That girl is on X at the very least. Like... That girl is mollied out of her damn mind, and I love the whole thing. And she's wearing, like, a crow. She was wearing a crow.
She
like,
was.
Like, that was her outfit. It was like, I'm punk. I was like, you're wearing a fucking grackle, Jenna, okay?
Yeah, she was literally Raven-esque. So she's like, a Southern gentleman should be chivalrous. And then it cuts to Thomas with Catherine, and Thomas goes, well, I like that dress so much. Just take it off.
And then we get the first of Catherine's.
She's like.
So her face just scrunches up. Like,
she's like,
She's like, whoa, silent erm. Silent erm.
Silent erm.
Cameron, the typical Charleston guy has PPS. Oh, I was like, I typed this wrong because that's what she said. The typical Charleston guy has PPS to the nth degree. That is Peter Pan syndrome. I imagine Cameron just making magnets out of her own sayings and putting them on her fridge.
Craig's like, just because I made a Peter Pan pillow doesn't mean I have a syndrome.
It's not a syndrome. It's a peanut butter.
Fresh tracks in the peanut butter, bro.
And the beginning of a business idea. So lust.
Yeah, it's like lust.
Who's lust? Lust. So they're like, lust!
It's like...
Betrayal!
White jeans.
White jeans. Moose knuckles. All I wanted in this episode, I was like, this could be extremely boring, because the pilots of every show on Bravo were terrible. It's like, why are you watching this? Why? Yeah. It's like glue drawing, you know? This one was so good. But all I really wanted from this was to see Thomas's moose knuckle. I was like, was that a thing? Did that happen when he got older, where he's like, I'm going to tie my nuts off and wear tight pants and make sure that the seam goes right up the middle of my nut? It's like... When did that happen? Has that been a long evolution?
Yeah.
Like, what's been going on there? Nope, he still had it. He had a big old... It's just part of him, you guys.
I also really liked that, like, the roots of Craig and Shep's weird rivalry were, like, present right there in this opening scene. Because we all of a sudden, like... Because they're like, whoa, lust, betrayal, and everything. And you see Craig go, you hooked up with her last night. And Shep just goes, so what?
Gosh. So what, Craig? There's not rules. Fast forward seasons where he's like, Austin. How could you do that?
Austin's like,
Austin. I did miss Austin.
Oh, we're in a tiff right now. Does anyone check on Victoria to see if her soup is ready, by the way? I've been wondering. That poor girl mentioned soup once on one episode for one second. She's like, I made a soup. And for this day, we're like, she made a fucking soup.
We've never been angrier than at that three-day stew she was making.
And then, so then we see Craig go, I have this desire to go hook up with MJ now. And unfortunately, like, my Bravo wires crossed. And I was like, just imagine Craig wanting to hit on MJ from Shaw's of Sunset. And I was into it.
I would be into that, too, because then it cuts to Whitney going, she's pregnant? Here comes MJ to break up Southern Charm forever.
Gosh, it's time to go to a commercial. Oh, Craig.
For the upsizers, the growing brood, Googling organic baby food. For every family who wants a great deal, choose TalkTalk this January and get 30% off unlimited fixed-price fibre. Now just £23.50 a month for 24 months. TalkTalk. Fairer broadband for everyone. Offer ends 7th of February. T's and C's apply.
Yeah. So Thomas is like, I need something stronger than tea. And I'm like, I know you got it. It's like, what are you waiting for someone else to share their coke? You are the mayor of cocaine in this town, sir. Whip it out. Let's see. That's all just the opening. It was like, quick.
Yeah.
Quick cuts.
Yeah, and I've always had this thing. I don't know if this bothered people as much as it bothered me, and this isn't even a joke. It used to drive me nuts in the first season when the opening credits would like be ending, and it would just like fade out quietly. And to have that back, I was like, man, I got so mad at that fade out. I'm so glad they added that. That really fixed a lot, so thank you.
It really did need that.
Yeah, just an observation.
So we open with Thomas getting dressed, which is now classic, because every episode has Thomas coming out of the shower, getting dressed, and making sure the moose is in place for the day or whatever. I'm like, eh! So we get Thomas's story. He's like, I'm from Charleston. My family came here before the 1800s and have been a presence here ever since.
Yes, a presence in 1600s Charleston.
In bars, behind bars, on walls, confined in walls. And then Whitney is like,
So Thomas, it's like hitting on girls. It's like, see that bridge? That's my bridge.
Which we saw this bridge flying in, and is anybody like, wow, let's fuck the guy with the 2-lane bridge? Is anybody thinking that? Because if I left here, I'd be like, fuck you and your dad's stupid bridge. Make it bigger, idiot.
Some people are turned on by infrastructure. What can you say, you know?
He's sitting in traffic for 19 hours a day coming from Mount Pleasant or whatever. Did I do that right? I'm learning my geography. I know why you're turned on, ma'am.
Gwyn's. So, I can't wait to pick up fashions at a low price but high style at Gwyn's.
Gwyn's. So then Whitney tells us, Thomas had all this money and power, and then he screwed it all up. And Thomas is like, I was convicted of distributing under 100 grams. Under 100? What are you bragging about that's so little? He's like, how could they? It was less than 100 grams.
Cameron Westcott's probably like, oh my God, I'm so proud that he found a distributor. And so then Thomas,
her dog food costs about as much as 100 grams of cocaine.
So then we see Thomas with Danny. Danny has been like one of the great like supporting players season after season.
It's a weird chair.
She never went bad. Are you okay?
This is just weird chair. It's like I can't. I'm hunched over to talk to the mic, and then the chair's really low. So I'm like.
Sometimes you just have to adjust the moose knuckle. for the greater
good. I adjusted my butt dimples just fine. I'm perched them just properly on the outside of the chair.
I am moose knuckly liberal, but economically conservative. We say some weird shit on this podcast. I don't know. So Thomas is talking to Dan. They're playing bocce, and Thomas is like, you know, and the first time I played this game was in prison. So I'm like, A, what sort of wasp are you that we had to get to prison to play bocce? Second of all, what sort of prison were you in that they had bocce? And third of all, how come we didn't get, like, shanked, like, five times in there?
It's hard to shank a man with a bocce stick. Which is why I brought it to prison. Poor Danny. You know, I really did not realize that Danny has just been shit on since episode one every year. Danny's that friend who's just like, I'm an artist. And, I'm an artist, and I'm going to just date whenever I want to date. And everyone's like, you want to date my friend? And it's always like someone gross, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, of course. It opens with someone trying to pawn Thomas off on Danny.
Yeah.
So she's like, that's attractive. Prison bocce ball. And he's like, yeah, we actually had a softball team, too. She's like, wow, look at you. That shows leadership in prison. So I'd like to thank my fucking friends for this.
She's great like, game. I'm a sommelier, and I actually trained for this, and you guys are setting me up with this. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot, jerks.
So then we see Thomas at a radio station, and the DJ...
With Tara in the morning. Tara.
Tara.
She has a very serious news show in the morning, and she has very serious face. She's like, I'm going to ask you something, Thomas.
Because if Tara ain't talking... We ain't walking. Am I right, everyone? Tara talk.
Stop your squawking. Tara's talking. Right?
Welcome to 99.95 FM. I am Tara, and we are talking on Tara Talk. Tara talk, everyone. Tara.
Uh-oh, watch that. Tara's on the Tara roll.
And it's 7 a.m., which means it's time for the Tara Watch, where we look out for traffic, actually. Not Tara, just Tara. So,
Thomas, I got a hard question to ask you. Could Thomas Ravenel come back? Everyone's wondering about that.
I mean,
I can
come in the front if you want me to. I don't care. Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's the only way I know you're not going to trap me for my family money. You bet I'll be coming in the back.
So she's like, he goes,
I love a good boo in an audience. I'm sorry, Ben. I just had to thank you.
It's my pleasure. He's like, I did my time, and there will be a political future. I'm not done yet. Just wait until I'm done with my second time I go to jail.
It's like, Thomas, I'm going to do something serious now, and we are going to take a question from a caller. Caller, take it away. I'm like, God, Tara is into this. Like, she is living her best life, Tara.
She just puts on a mustache. She's like, hello, why am I caller? It's like, Tara.
So the caller's like, Thomas, whatever happened to paying the piper? He's like, I did pay her, and she had her money far, far away, and I never heard from her again. Thank you very much, caller.
So he's like, well, there'll be naysayers, but like Admiral Farragut once said, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead, which of course we're referencing my penis with the torpedoes, of course, yes. He just makes it easy, you know?
Now, another thing I think that all the viewers kind of forget as seasons go on, people were always like this from the very beginning, and I didn't remember. The first shot we get of Shep is face down. He is just splatted, like arms out, face down, his hair's all out.
It's like his parachute didn't open or something.
And you know, it is so cute when you're young. You know what I mean? Like in season one, I was like, that is so cute, look at that drunk baby, that is so cute!
Yeah.
Now I'm like, somebody help Shep, please.
Yeah.
We saw a sailboat. We were out at the pier watching the sunset, and we saw a sailboat just, like, tipped on its side. And we were calling it the USS Garsh. You know, it's like, this didn't end well.
I love that we both named it, because when I did the Instagram story, I called it the SS Caroline. It's not even a joke. It's there if you look on our Instagram.
hers falls over, but it never stops going. You know, just keeps inching towards you crazily.
I was wondering why Kate was there blasting techno music on the beach.
So Shep's face down, and then he gets, you know, everybody's like, look, I'm sitting on Patricia's stairs and smiling at the camera, like, for their intro. And Shep's is like this. Well, it's a beer, so he has a beer, and he's at a bar like... like a sitcom opening, you know?
And he's like, gosh, my name's Shepard Rose, and I'm from Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. Gosh. My family founded Boykin, South Carolina, and the state dog is named after my family, the Boykin Spaniel. And they show this dog that's like, please rename me. Yeah. So I was like, I can't live
Boykin
with the shame.
Everybody's dream location.
The Boykin Spaniel. So he's like, I got my business degree at Vanderpump. Vanderbilt.
Sorry.
Oh, I remember. Darling. I remember Shepard Rose. He graduated magna cum maestro.
Maestro Shepard Boykin.
I do remember him. He graduated with a major in pumptinis and a minor in broken bones.
I would have taken every broken tooth, little boy. That doesn't have a ring to it. I need another broken thing. Not teeth, not teeth, birds. You're fired, Shepard. Get out. Take your limping Boykin with you, okay? We can't get those adopted.
Oh, God, I love this show.
I got my business degree at Vanderbilt, but I decided I didn't want to do the 9-to-5 thing, so... I'm just an alcoholic. It's great. I'm a masturbating alcoholic. I'm a sex addict. I mean, it's great. Everything's great.
I like to think that someone was like, hey, Shep, you should watch 9-to-5. He's like, I can't do that thing. No, no, no. And that just set him on this path for some reason.
Dolly Parton's opening song just stressed him out.
All that typing. Oh, gosh.
God, those copy machines were scary. They have phones with cords. Oh.
So Shep goes meets up with Cameron at a place, and we find out that Cameron's family has been in South Carolina for 10 generations, but she is a modern Southern woman, okay, Shepherd, okay? She is studying for real estate. She had a real estate license, and naturally the first thing she does is like, so, Shepherd, tell me about MJ. How'd that date with MJ go? Was it good? Did you like it, Shepherd? Question mark.
Shepherd, did you touch her boobies?
I like that Cameron like makes Shep just always feel as awkward as just like talks down to him as much as possible. It's always been one of my favorite things about Cameron. She's like, okay, we're gonna meet for lunch. Just lean by a brick wall until I get there in 119 degree heat. Okay? It just opens with Shep leaning there like, oh.
All right, I could have walked to the restaurant and had a seat, but I'll be here against the wall in the heat.
So she's like, my name is Cameron Eubanks, and I'm from Anderson, Carolina, South Carolina. My family has been here for 18 generations, but I'm not your typical belle. I'm a modern Southern woman. I hunt. I'm like, whoa!
And you were on The Real World San Diego. Don't front. Don't front. Thank you. Cameron was on my Real World Road Rules Challenge fantasy team back when MTV.com used to do that. So thanks, Cameron.
Did you touch her boobies? Did you touch him? He's like, I don't know, of course. Like, did you touch him? What page did you get to? He's like, I don't remember.
Shep's sticking to it ever since.
Cameron's one of those rare girls in Charleston. It's just one of the guys. And because she's so beautiful, you never imagine that. But it's definitely true. Gosh. I was like, I love, like, adoring condescension, you know? You know?
There's probably been some smooching going on.
It's like, how do the police here ever do their jobs? You know, it's like a complete different language you have to learn. Like, okay, I guess that's kissing of some kind, sir. Could you be more specific?
What do you mean by bases? This isn't baseball.
It's like, okay, sir.
Yeah.
Did we do the hokey pokey? Is that what you're saying?
So Cameron's just like questioning about this MJ girl, and is like, "Do you invite her over to watch a movie?" Which I thought was funny because I was like, "Wow, like we have changed so much society." Like, remember when people said, "Do you invite her over to watch a movie and chill?" It's like, "Whoa, weird. What happened to that language?" You know. So then Cameron, this is when we used to believe Cameron like could really see the future. She goes, "I predict that in 2 years, you'll be married."
Yeah, there's a lot of sad psychic things happening here that just never really work out.
Yeah, they don't all pan out.
He's like, "What are you, the guy whisperer?" And she's like, "Yeah, I'm just here to help all you turds." Well, great fucking job, Cameron. Okay? Standing here at the end of the road going, "You failed," okay? Yeah. And I love you. I support you.
Yeah, yeah, didn't work out so well.
So I can groom Shep into a very eligible bachelor if he'd let me. Good luck. It's like that show Tidying Up that everybody's in love with now. I watched that show and I was like, so now you have 20 boxes stacked in your room. Congrats. Like, nothing happened on this show that helped you, okay? Yeah. You're still a fucking hermit. Nice job, lady.
I would be horrified for America if Marie Kondo went to Shep's house. Like, I could just imagine her be like, "Does this spark joy? Oh." Bye.
With a smile on her face.
She just puts herself into her own box and takes herself to a thrift store.
She folds herself up perfectly, just like slides into a trifold. So then Whitney's like, Whitney's sitting on a balcony in a chair, but it's like a skinny balcony, so he's sitting sideways on
Cheetah Brand.
He's like this. He's like, it's like, wow, luxury.
I believe it's called a Juliet balcony. Thank you.
I mean, we're judging balconies, okay? The Juliet balcony. So he's like, "I'm Whitney. My family traces back to 1640, so my ancestors are founding fathers of America. I'm getting there, Mother. I'm getting there." "I also directed a film called Ultra Suede.
It got 5 out of 5 on Rotten.
They didn't get it. So fuck them."
My favorite part of this was there was a shot of Whitney and Patricia getting in the back of like a Rolls Royce of some sort of very fancy car, and they looked like they were about to like assassinate a world leader. It was amazing. Oh.
She would, too. That's the kind of assassination we need, you know? Do it with some style.
Yeah. It was very fancy.
So he's going to open a restaurant instead. And I forgot about that
whole plot. The amount of murmuring that's happening that you just poured that Tito's into Michael's martini. Like, I know. I had to address it. I had to address it because everyone was feeling uncomfortable by that.
Have we just met? Like, are we new to each other? And I've got a backup here as well, so whatever. It's called dinner. Okay, so then Whitney's like, "Yeah, I'm young, young as hell.
Renob.
Young, I'm youthful. I am youthful." He's on his 4-poster bed at his mother's house. His 4 poster bed with pineapple posts. And he's licking it like, while he's playing the guitar. And then the best friend I've ever had in my life enters. A martini.
Yes.
Followed by Miss Patricia.
Miss Patricia herself.
And it is hilarious that a martini entered before you. That was fucking hilarious. It's like this gigantic martini as big as a baby head comes through the door, followed by Patricia. Like, what is
this? It's like someone stepping in front of the queen. It's like, you just don't do that.
Last night when you came in here, your diamond arrived first. I was like, whoa! My eyes was like, I'm blinded! She's like, it's me. then there's this chef. So here's the question I have. You know, America is obsessed with murder shows right now. Like, there's so many murder podcasts. You people are sick. And I'm with you. You know, I love them.
Yeah.
Did you murder the chef, Michael? Where is that guy?
Where is that chef?
Our guess is like he killed his ass. You're like, oh, hell no.
A butler never tells.
Yes, yeah, so Patricia's like, my head is vibrating. I can feel that in my teeth.
Jesus Christ, it's so loud.
He's like, it's called rock and roll, Mom. It's like, this is Bye Bye Birdie.
It was like playing Humpty Dumpty or something. So then there's like this pile of clothes at the foot of the bed. And it's like, well, what's this? And it's like, some chick's...
What is this?
Some chick's clothes.
Which we learned later whose clothes those were.
And how much do we love Catherine Dennis, right?
Love our little Catherine.
We should also mention, by the way, that Miss Patricia won the 2019 Crappy Award for Best Non-Cast Member. And that Catherine Dennis won the award for Best Bravo Celebrity of 2019.
Congratulations. Those are enormous, yes. Prestigious awards.
Yes.
I'm sorry I didn't bring your rubber ducky shaped like a poop emoji for your mantle.
Yes.
It's in the mail. So she's like, what is this? And he's like, some chick's clothes, mother. She's like, Ann Taylor. She picks it up. Ann Taylor. Ann Taylor herself wouldn't be welcome here. The woman was conceived at break time at a Cinnabon. In the north.
North.
So it cuts to Whitney. He's like, yes. I live with my mother. She's one of my best friends. She's really great. But I'm an adult now. I can do whatever I want. She's like, pick up those clothes. Yes, mother. So, maybe I should change my tactics and pretend I'm happy to have a trail of women traipsing in and out of this house. My favorite thing is being looked at without ever being... It's like without being looked at. It's like a head move and an eye moves with the head. Yeah. Whitney.
So Patricia tells us that, like, you know, in the beginning, she was hoping that Whitney would bring home, like, a lovely lady who was well-educated and smart, well-groomed, etc. And she goes, now I've just reduced the list to, just as long as they can walk upright, I'm happy. I'm just imagining a bunch of, like, a bunch of me's walking through there. That was secretly kind of artful.
I love that she's not mad that he just boned some trollop in her house. She's mad that there's clothes that aren't folded properly. I mean, it's disrespectful. It's Ann Taylor. It's not even folded, Ann Taylor.
So Whitney goes, I need a stabbing cabin in town. Which is a term I still have yet to hear on House Hunters, by the way.
Well, you take the one that's closer to the city center in town, or the one that's about 20 minutes away, or the one that's about an hour away, but you can stab some vaginas with your penis. Which one are you going to take?
Which stabbing cabin? And Patricia goes, is that gangster talk or something?
And then the chef goes, it sounds like you know what. Michael's like opening a little packet and putting it into his orange juice, stirring it around.
And for those of you who think that we exaggerate all this stuff, Patricia says, well, if you want to leave your widowed mother alone, that's fine. I don't have many years left. And Whitney goes, I know, mother. It happens. Yeah.
You'll miss me when I'm gone. He's like, oh, I know, mother. You can take your amplifier. I know, mother. Get this fucking Ann Taylor out of my house before I burn down your room.
You don't have to tell me where your new address is. I'll just find the trail of Ann Taylor clothes across Charleston.
And you could let Ann Taylor know that she better tell her whole friend Liz Claiborne that if I ever see him on my block again, this city's going under fire.
I can't believe that Liz Claiborne is getting the biggest applause of the night.
You know what? I just wanted to leave Laura Ashley out of it. I feel like she's taken enough. Who is going to stand for Laura Ashley? Me. Okay?
First they came for Laura Ashley and we said nothing. Then they came for Chico's.
So all we needed to stop the Holocaust, just one person standing up for Laura Ashley. You see how it all comes full circle?
I okay. never trust the last name Ashley anyway.
Oh, girl. You know, this whole time we're making our southern charm jokes with our friends as we drive through the town. Because really, everything is named after all of you guys, you know? Like, everyone has a street or a building or whatever. And, you know, poor Ashley. And our poor Uber drivers, actually, because we're like, where's that? Where they keep the trash?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Our Uber driver today, oh, you weren't in this Uber, but our Uber driver was very excited because he took a photo with Catherine Dennis earlier, like 2 weeks ago.
Was he at the first sale at Gwen's? It's 10% off. Us on the paper.
He showed us the photo, Catherine, in your yellow jacket. You had just gone to a taco stand. So just know that's being spread around the Uber community.
Girl, have you looked at Catherine Dennis's Instagram? She will go to a taco stand dressed like she's going to, like, the Oscars in, like, 10 years. Like, a fancy future Oscar. Look, where'd you even get this? Where'd you even design that fabulous hat? It's, like, gold. And she'll be like, here I am in front of a hot dog stand, like, just, like, perfect and decked out.
So now we go over to Thomas's house, where a ball named Will Folks is there. Will Folks is Thomas's political manager. I feel like this guy should have had, like, we should know more about this guy and the canon of Southern Charm people, right? People already hate him just by association.
Yeah, they're like, fuck that guy and his acid wash mom jeans and his... So Thomas is like, we share the same political views, which is libertarian. That means we like chocolate chips. We don't trust in dipped cones. And we don't give poor people things. It's like, I don't think that's what libertarian means. But I really don't like dipped cones. You see, I'm a very fickle voter.
Yeah. He goes, I think I can really make a difference. I really do. And the sad part is, like, back then, I actually sort of believed him. Yeah. I have to be very honest. I really did. But now he's in jail, so...
Now, Thomas, I got a serious question to ask you. I like that everybody who talks to Thomas in this episode is like, Thomas, I got a serious question. We're going to be serious. It's like, okay, Tara, calm down over there. Well, it's like, I've got a very serious question. Are you really running or are you just having fun? And I'm like, does everything here kind of rhyme? Because I really love this place. And Thomas is like, I'd like to redeem myself. But as a convicted felon, I can only run for 3 offices. The House, the Senate, and President. I am horrified. I love my country, okay? I love this country. But what the fuck, America? Like, seriously? That cokehead can't be a dog watcher, but you know what? He might be okay with a nuclear football.
So Will's like, what's going on with your personal life? Like, you have this, you know, you have all these women and you should probably just, like, pick one. And he's like, and for my money, I think you should pick Catherine.
This guy is such a pig, you know? He's like, that's the hot one. Yeah, I got it in for her. Yeah, pick Catherine. I'm like, this is a frat party or a political meeting, you pig? He's like, I like redheads, though, so... Ugh, gross. Yeah. So, Thomas, this is first of his square car run.
Yeah.
Thomas is like,
word of the night.
She's from a scion.
She's the scion of a proud family, an old South Carolina family. The Calhouns and the other family. She's got a street over there, so let's do it. She's got a street, I got a bridge. Together we make a map.
Grandfather was in charge of financial planning, whatever. So then we go over to Craig's house, and they do a close-up of a Romney Ryan sticker on his fridge. And I was like, wow, it just takes different things to get laid in this town, okay? If you had that on your fridge where we're from, you might as well just cut your dick off. You ain't ever using it again.
So Craig starts off his tenure in Southern Charm with just a lie. I'm Craig Conover, and I'm currently in law school.
But wasn't he actually in law school at that point? He wasn't lying.
He wasn't? I honestly don't know.
Oh, God, he's such a beautiful liar. That's why Beyonce wrote that song. He's like, I'm currently in law school. I drove down here in college, and I knew there was nowhere else for me.
Except maybe college. Did you also notice he had like a banner on his wall that just said Rolex? It's an odd decor choice. I don't know.
Vision board. It's called a vision board, bro.
It's like putting up a thing that says like KitchenAid. I don't know.
Vision board.
So he's like,
we know there's just a hole there that was carved from a butter knife. That's what it is.
Yeah, vision board. A dark hole. So he's in the office now, and he's like, yeah, the guys who I hang out with, they're like, they call me and they're like, dude, where are you? And I'm like, I'm in the office. Some people have to work. Reality shows ruin a lot of lives, but this really ruined Craig's life.
Yeah,
I hope you guys are happy. I hope you're happy, front row.
Yeah.
Craig was on his way.
So the supervisor at his law firm is like, hey, Craig, do you have like a moment? He's like, am I in trouble again?
Craig, I need to see you. Stop covering your eyes then.
He's like,
I'm not covering my eyes, Craig. I can see you. I mean, I need you to come into my office.
I wish this archaic device worked better. So the guy's like, listen, Craig, you know this whole job concept? You sort of have to come in on time. He's like, what about if I come in 3 out of 5 days on time?
He's like, whoa, I like your new blue office. It's beautiful. Great new wallpaper. Craig, stop covering your eyes. Oh, whoa, it's the same office. That's crazy. So he's like, let's make this short as possible. You're doing a great job. Yeah. Please come to the office when we ask you to come to the office.
I embrace what Charleston stands for, which we all know is pillows.
Pillows. From what we've seen of Charleston so far this episode, it does stand for pillows.
Yeah.
There's a lot of napping going on in this episode, and I'm here for it. Shep, why isn't Shep the mayor of something? If someone was like, I like to sleep till 2, I'd be like, you are fucking hired. Thank you very much, sir. I'll pass out the pins for you.
So then Craig actually tells this to us. This is his boss, and he goes, well, the thing is that, like, with the people I hang out with and stuff, like, Thomas and those guys, they don't really have a job, so they'll, like, start partying at, like, 1 or 2, and if I don't go, I feel really bad that I'm not there, because everyone expects me to be there, so, like, I just have to come in late for that. I'm like, you just told your boss you have to come in late because you want to go to a party instead?
Yeah.
God bless Craig.
And the boss isn't quite getting it either, because he's like, but Craig, what I'm trying to tell you is that you are going to be judged by the people you hang out with, whether you like that or not. And he's like, oh, so people are going to think I'm rich, and I'm going to get laid all the time. Great. Sounds great. Thanks for the advice. I quit.
Yeah.
So then we go to Whitney, who's kind of like, his hair right now is kind of when Liza Minnelli was like, I'm going to do like acid rock in the 80s. You know that moment?
A little Joan Jett-esque.
Yeah. And I'm there, you know. And so he's on the patio, and it's a party. It's a party. And we know it's a party because we hear the party alarm.
Ooga! Ooga!
Trap!
We just killed the theater.
We broke it.
Dong, 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 dong.
I don't know why I'm frightened. Just kidding. Okay,
that was actually the sound of JD flatlining.
I just...
Elizabeth's like, I have the EKG.
He made it through two... two last guys, and then it was.
You remember the wife? I don't remember her, but you remember, right?
You remember the old sperm receptacle, don't you, Whit?
She's like,
her
hi.
Name is Elizabeth, hi. Sir.
You can just call me Hoo-ah.
And some girl drinks the punch, and she's like, tastes like good salt. He's like, well, I did it. It's perfect. All right, so Shep's like, no offense, but I'm going on a beer run, okay? And Whitney's like, you shouldn't drink cars, bro.
How does a beer run?
Glad you made it here, Craigie boy.
I almost didn't make it. I had to cast my ballot for Romney and Ryan. Craig, that was like 2 months ago. Oh.
And Cameron's like, there's a lot of pressure in the South for women because, you know, your lot in life as a woman is just to lay there, get pregnant, pop out babies, and be called this one. But I've got a husband, so it's real fun for me to watch these trolls fall over themselves drinking Whitney's punch.
Yeah. Yeah, at which point Whitney then turns to cameras like, you shouldn't drink your carbs. Then he like raises up his glasses like, it's the taste of victory. I don't know what it means.
So then poor Danny, someone's like, oh, it didn't work out with Thomas, huh? He was kind of a pig. I've got another friend to introduce you to. This one is pure win, okay? Danny, this is Shep.
Oh my gosh.
So Cameron's just like, you know what? The guys in Charleston, they just have a buffet of women at their disposal, okay? Where we women, we basically just have like a tuna sandwich in a vending machine that's going round and round, all right? Mm-hmm. I mean, look at this.
So Danny tells Shep, you are so much more attractive when you're sober. And he's like, oh, gross. So she's like, that's why you'll be single forever. And I'm like, why does everybody here have to talk like that? Who cares if you're single forever? That is my point. What's wrong with that? It's amazing.
So then
just kidding, suckers.
So Thomas shows up. He's wearing like an oversized suit. Like he's like the kid in Big who just like came out of the machine. He's like, he's like, I was Tom Hanks for like a day. Whoa. And now I'm in this suit. So he's like in this big suit, you know. And T-Rap is like, you know, when it comes to picking out a woman, I think it's wrong to be blasé and choose a woman like a croissant at a bakery. Should be more like a scion at a scion store.
The problem with the croissant is you can't eat it and put it back. You can't do that in bakeries. I've tried. So then Catherine is there in this pink crop top bikini thing, you know, looking adorable. She's like in front of a taco stand, like.
It's my taco look.
Like looking fabulous. And we just keep getting little shots of Catherine. But every time they show a shot of Catherine, they're so tricky. The editors are fuckers, you know that?
Yeah.
So they'll show a shot of Catherine being like, yeah, Sunny. You know, like, that's it. She's not saying anything. But then they'll cut to Craig being, like, sheepish. And then they'll show Catherine going, sheepish. It's like, show Catherine and then every guy being, like, sheepish around Catherine. And this is still when Catherine was, like, not out as being, like, a fucking tiger who will eat your throat out if she needs to.
Thomas, come back!
Thomas!
That was our other option, was that episode of the bridge, running across the bridge. Oh, my. One day.
Someday. When we come back.
So this was my... So in this episode, in the first episode, that part of Catherine hadn't come to fruition yet. She hadn't been turned into that tree yet.
No.
So she was bearing a different kind of fruit.
Little baby fruit.
So yeah. Catherine in this episode was like, hi.
Hi. How are you?
So then we cut over to Craig, and he's like telling Shep about how he was in court that day. And, you know, as much shit as we talk about Shep, you know, I've always still, despite everything, I actually still really like Shep. And I think it's because of moments like these, when after Craig is telling him about being in court, Shep tells us, gosh, unless you're a professional athlete or a famous movie actor, I really don't want to hear about your job.
I mean, speak the truth.
Which everybody agrees with that, right?
Yeah. But now
your
said
asses
it.
Didn't come in here for free, so I know y'all have jobs. So let's look at this on the flip side. People with motherfucking jobs don't want to hear about your non-job either, sir. Okay? We don't want to hear about you surfing and fucking all day. I'm like, I'm glad you're rich. Glad you're having fun with that.
All right, so now, so Whitney and Thomas are now talking to Catherine, and Thomas is once again being like, well, she's the scion. Did I use that word yet? Scion.
Yeah. She's it's a square car you can pack sacks or boxes in. They've got a Honda version that you can pull out the carpet, and it's just rubber. If you spill something in it, you just hose it down and keep going along with your day. So I'm looking for an element or a scion is what I'm saying here.
I just want an affordable car that I could put things in, ideally some Amazon Prime packages.
And then Thomas tells us, Catherine's reputation in Charleston is as a celebutante. Now, she was a page in the Senate, and we called her Senate Barbie. I'm like, oh.
I call her croissant Barbie.
I called her a half-chewed chocolate croissant.
So now the mating ritual begins, and Thomas is like, so, where'd you get your beauty? We're like... And then he goes, and what color hair is that?
What is that? You call that red hair? What is that
She's
now?
Like,
hair? Red
it's,
hair?
It's a primary color. It's a really, really basic color.
And then she's like still, she's not at that point yet, obviously, where she can be like, shut up, you idiot. Make me look fucking stupid, you asshole. Which she gets to, you know, we'll get to that. But at this time, she's still like being, like just agreeing with everything Thomas says. So he's like, what is that, red? And she goes,
red, or whatever you call it.
Like what? Just name the color. Change whatever color you want to, Thomas. You want to call it blue? Let's call it blue. So he's like, but you're naturally auburn, right? I'm like, oh, what every woman wants to hear. Hi, I couldn't help but noticing you across the room. You are one fake bitch. You want to come home with me? Who says that?
At which point he then moves over to some tennis player and goes, I bet you have a sweet swing.
What does that mean? Is that a sexual thing? Because I groaned when he said it just because it's Thomas, but...
He makes everything sound disgusting. He's like...
I guess my penis isn't big enough to imagine what that could be. So I'm like, wow, that sounds amazing. What a huge penis. But I have to add one thing that he told Catherine. She goes,
well, I'm thinking of going back to natural color.
And he goes, well, I say, if you're red, make it redder. And if you're tall, make it taller. And she goes,
exactly.
I was like, oh.
She's like, I have no idea what he's talking about. Please, please.
If you don't kill the monster, it murders everyone else in the movie. You know what I'm saying?
So Southern Charm is like, we're not even going to mess around with, like, make you wonder what happened. It's like, commercial break, and now here's Thomas in the morning in the bathrobe bringing her coffee to Catherine. He goes, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but a Southern gentleman always brings a lady coffee in the morning.
A Southern gentleman doesn't fuck a lady on the first date.
And then puts her through 4 to 5 years of legal troubles.
But Catherine was so cute in that bed, you guys. It's like that first time you find a pillow that doesn't suck, but you didn't know that pillows sucked before. And by pillow, I mean an actual pillow. She was on the pillow like this. I was like, oh my God, she's finally tasted an expensive pillow on her face, you know? It's only going to go down from here.
Yeah.
People think you need a mansion or a Bentley. You just need a decent fucking bed, okay? So wins every time.
So now for those of you who think that Thomas went after Catherine for, like, you know, to look better in his campaign and thought it was, like, not for love or anything, I can let you know that was not the case, because as he says, he's like, I normally don't have a thing for redheads, but you know, maybe my little head said yes because she's hot. And by little head, I mean my penis.
So then Jenna has... if she's at the air show or something.
Oh, yeah,
I don't
Jenna's
know how Jenna is
show.
Coming off some private plane. I'm like, is that a Blue Angels plane?
She's got, like, sunglasses like this. She's like, hey, look what I discovered. Sunglasses.
Yeah. She's got sunglasses like this on her face. She's got full-on glaucoma sunglasses.
She
okay.
literally raided an old person's home and stole all their cataract glasses. She's like... I could have been one of those people that got married right after high school and started a family, but I guess I rebelled against that. Instead, I just, like, shacked up with an old dude with a private plane.
Yeah. I rebelled. Now I just fly around in Blue Angel planes at air shows and wear crows.
I'm going to be in the dark crystal.
So Whitney pulls up and he's like... love the car. Oh, she picks up Whitney. She's like, he goes, love the car. And it's this really nice car. And she goes, and he goes, that's called your starter bin. That's the first wife's car.
And she's mother, like, mother, you hear that, mother? Mother.
And instead of slapping him and being like, I have a job. How dare you, sir? She's like, actually, it's my second starter car. Starter wife car.
He's like, is the other one a convertible because of this whole second. Thing? Or oh, that's a choice. Okay, great.
So they go shopping, and you know there's only like one place that sells dead birds. So they go, and I've learned that this town does have a store for everything, you know?
Yeah.
I can see like Anne's Dead Bird Store by Grackle. You know, it's like gorgeous, like great yeah. stenciling on the outside.
Yeah.
I walked around this town today, and I was like, wow, a hat store.
Yeah.
Is that really still a thing?
Yeah. Hats so and anyway, feathers.
Yeah. She's like, do you have any Grackles? It's like, hey, girl, no, long time no see. My mother hates everything in here. Just put something in my bag, and I'll really piss her off. Rebel.
So, nothing like Jenna to render us speechless.
Yeah,
you know?
Jenna. I need a moment after having Jenna, because I start tripping out a little bit, you know?
Yeah. She's a lot.
I get a little of her Molly just talking about her.
Yeah. So then we go over to a place called Sermet's. I can't think it's JD. Was it JD's
yeah, how
restaurant?
Do you Sermet's? Say that? Sermet's,
it was right? One of JD's restaurants that's now closed. By the way, did anyone ever have Gentry Bourbon? Anyone? Well, the Yelp reviews are in.
just got trip advised.
So we go over to JD's restaurant, and JD and Thomas are there. And Thomas is like, well. When he was single, JD was quite a ladies man. I'm like, and also maybe when he's married. But now, yeah, now he's banging chicks too, yeah. I mean, his wife, Elizabeth. Remember the wife, right?
So Thomas tells us, you know, JD is one of my trusted advisors. He gives me advice on relationships. And I give him advice on business and money. I was like, you guys can both now join Cameron at the end of Fail Street.
I know.
All right.
It has cobblestones.
Wow.
That was actually one of the funniest moments of the hour. The fact that those two idiots advise each other in the worst things that they are able to do.
And that's where we get the close-up of the moose knuckle. And I was like, yep, I win!
So Thomas is like, well...
I don't know what the hell that was or who that came from, but thank you for yes. that. I don't think I've ever gotten that
It had
that
like
before.
A round sound that was, yeah. it was good.
Ooh.
It's whoever's trapped in Thomas's. So Thomas is like, well, so I was set up with Catherine, and then JD is just so gross. He's like, I can imagine that was pretty special.
Like... And then he says, well, choosing a good woman is key, brother. You make the wrong decision and it can haunt you. Making the right decision can make you president. Wink!
Why do they wink every time they say the word president?
Not gonna happen, okay? Although... Wow. So today, huh? Yeah. Just kidding, guys.
Yeah, we're so topical.
And this is what I plan to talk about. Healthcare in this country! Just kidding.
So now we go to a place called The Rooftop. Where I don't know why it became Countess Luann right there, but it's fine. Would you believe that, girls? They went to The Rooftop! Free cabaret for everyone.
Clang, 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 gets the trolley.
Bang, 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 go the rapists. So Jenna and Whitney are at The Rooftop with Cameron and Leva. You know, Leva also, I feel like, is uncredited. She has been there since
the very beginning.
And like, no one even talks about her, but she's been there from the beginning. So congratulations, Leva.
Because on this show, Cameron's always been the one who's like better than everybody else, and everyone feels like a loser next to Cameron. And it's just so comforting to know that she's always had Leva there to make her feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, like, makes things, it just makes the whole show feel like a warm hug, doesn't it?
Yeah. So Cameron's talking about Jenna, and they went to high school together, and Cameron's like, well, you know, I wouldn't say that Jenna was bad. She was alternative. And I love that, like, to be, like, alternative, you basically have to, like, cut your hair short.
But I also feel like for Cameron, that's like calling someone a faggot.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, such a word for Cameron to say. She's... quote with her eyebrows. That's alternative.
It was nasty. It was loaded.
I felt like it was loaded. I was like, whoa, that girl's evil.
Wow. Wow. So, yeah, there's just talk because Whitney needs to buy his stabbing cabin and Cameron needs to sell a house to someone, so they're going to get into business together. And then meanwhile, Thomas is going to be having a polo match tomorrow. And Cameron's stressed because she went to Dillard's. She literally went to Dillard's and couldn't find anything.
Gwen is sitting at home like that bitch,
Cameron. I gave her a free pashmina.
One day I'm going to get someone from this cast to make my store look fucking amazing. And she's going to rue the day.
Swing a flag. You could just imagine that girl was like spinning one of those things on the sidewalk until Catherine came by. Yes, finally.
And I love the difference between how Cameron said that they met. She's like, well, I remember her being alternative. Faggot. And then Jenna's version of how it all happened, she's like, we met in a swimming pool full of football players.
I also,
and Cameron's just like, jeez.
I feel like we didn't talk about the fact that, like, Jenna, they show her in high school, she's like a cheerleader, like blonde cheerleader. She's like this. And she's like, but I decided to be more edgy. And it's like, you got Joan London's new haircut. Like, that's not edgy.
So let's see. Thomas is over at the house with a couple of polo guys talking about the plantation he bought. It's a piece of heaven.
So he's talking about polo and like how after prison he found polo and it gave him a raison d'etre. So he decided to build a polo field. I'm like, most people when they get out of prison are like, how can I give back to the community? He's like, I'm going to build a polo field. He got to polo.
I was listless, so I whipped out my penis and started hitting polo things with it. I don't even know what you hit. Is that a ball you hit? What are you hitting polo?
If you build it, they will mayo hands.
If I build it, I'll have something to come on. Sorry, this is so disgusting. I didn't know the show was going to be so disgusting. I was like, what an innocent episode. It's because you're here, you know that? I'm being like 10 times more disgusting. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm just like trying to look up there. I'm like, please don't remind me that Patricia's right there. She's staring at me. So
Cameron's like, polo is associated with ostentation, but I think it's so silly that people feel the need to get decked out when you're walking around in horse shit. Cut to Catherine decked out looking amazing in her.
You're like,
how dare you? How dare you fucking my name?
I incepted him. Cameron's like, Thomas gets a bad rap, but it's only because of his last name. And his rapiness.
I like when you can just quiet me, you know?
He's the one with the charges, not me.
It's really hard to get me to shut up. And you could do it. I was like, wow, all right. So Thomas is like, you know what? I'm probably going to put a mill into this polo field. You got to spend money to make money. All that money you're going to bring in on that backyard polo field, weirdo.
It's always sad when Thomas is quoting Karen Huger. Sort of.
You have to make millions. Oh, millions.
Security. So everyone's showing up for polo, and like Shep gets there, and we find out that Shep has like a huge fear of horses, which I didn't even remember. And he's like, gosh! They could kick me at any moment. Gosh, Craig, gosh!
That's literally poop over there. I was like, how do you think your cleaning lady feels? So polo. Whenever polo starts happening on this show, I'm just like, I just don't turn back on until I hear some theme music, you know, starting a new theme.
Well, I did enjoy it because, like, when they're playing polo, Shep is like trying to crack jokes, sort of like what I try to do sometimes, and he's like, oh. So when you score, like, you do like a pack flip. It's like a cartwheel, huh? Gosh, right? Everyone's like,
and Whitney's making fun of Thomas, which is like classic Whitney, you know, that's why he brings Thomas along. And he's like, the thing I love most about polo, mother, like he's just talking to Patricia in his head. He's like, the thing I love most about polo, mother, is the, like, the owners play on the team, so like, you just buy a team. And be the quarterback. I was like, really? Lead singer and guitarist of Renob? Please tell us about that.
I actually...
Renob! There are two girls here in Renob shirts. Yeah. Yes, right there.
I have to say, I actually genuinely felt bad for Whitney at that moment, because when he made that like comment about, like, isn't it crazy? Like, if you're like the owner of the Redskins, you can just be quarterback. Craig just goes, Whitney is fascinated by this. I was like, ooh. You got shaded by Craig. I'm sorry, Whitney. I'm sorry. You had to go through that.
You got shaded by a guy with a Rolex picture in his room.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I share something personal with you? If I had a lot of money, my dream would be to have a water slide from my bedroom to my pool.
The look he gives when he says it, he goes,
I don't think he understands even how water slides work.
Why is my room so wet? Oh! It's like stabbing it with a butter knife. And this is also where we start understanding the rules amongst the guys, because they like lay down law for each other every season of the show, and like, what it's like when you want to bone someone. So,
excuse us. Excuse us.
I love you.
For those listening at home,
everyone at home is like, Ronnie just died on stage.
For those of you who are listening at home, Catherine Dennis just entered the building.
And only an hour and a half late. I am honored.
She was just in the neighborhood.
I was getting ready to meet you outside in the morning for breakfast, okay? I love you. Thank you for... Yeah, we know. We know. Thank you. Oh, my God. It so worked out great. I would have been terrified calling you all those names while you weren't here.
I know.
Just kidding.
Wow.
All right, this show's over. Thanks, everybody. Go. Let's party.
So speaking of people arriving,
is that your boyfriend? Yeah. Oh, yes. My God. Yes. What is your criminal record like, sir?
Do you have an Amazon Prime account?
Do you have an Amazon Prime account?
For those of you guys wondering who can't get a good view, he's hot.
He is hot. God, I hate that you're looking at me from this angle. This is like my worst selfie angle. This is why I don't FaceTime. Because like when someone calls you and you turn on your FaceTime and you're like, hello? Hello? Okay, do you love that we talk?
Yeah.
Of course, this is Southern Charm, so we've been talking about sexual harassment the entire time.
Yeah.
And then we spend 15 minutes sexually harassing you. I apologize.
Yeah.
I'm getting a gallery named after me. I finally made it.
All right. So we're at the polo match, and... Just soak it in. Soak it in.
So, Shep, the guys start gathering, you know, planning on... Oh, what were we talking about? The rules.
We're talking about, the rules of polo.
When I get nervous, I just start scrolling. I was like, hi! I'm on, like, Real Housewives of Atlanta from last week. I'm like, what? Catherine said that?
So, actually, before you get to the rules... So, the big scuttlebutt is that someone new is coming to the polo match, and it's Jenna. And Craig's like, Jenna has a mohawk, apparently. I love that this crazy hairstyle has already scandalized the polo match. It's like, oh my god! And her hair's up a little bit. It's like
Steph's
a mohawk.
Like, wild, yeah, of course. And then they're like, who's the old lady? Because she comes in with those glaucoma glasses, know. You know?
Oh She's my god, like, Jessica Tandy's here. I'm
Hi, Cameron. Remember when we met at that swimming pool full of football players? And so the guys convene to figure out who's going to get to harass her first, you know? And so Craig's like, when a new girl comes into the group, you can see it on the guys' faces. You can also hear JD go, Hoga!
JD's like,
whoa, we going camping and someone make a tent for no reason, eh?
Stupid. We're doing very basic prop comedy up here.
So he's like, whoever Jenna shows interest in first, you let her decide, you know? But first, let him have a swing at it.
What is with this word swing, Charles?
What am I not understanding? What is it? Some sexual move I don't understand.
I was just readjusting.
Is that swinging?
That's what you call the Charleston swing.
That's what it is. Second only to the mashed potato.
So Jenna shows up. So she walks in. And all the guys are like, mm-hmm, you know? And Craig's like, oh. And Jenna's like, she just totally ices him out. He's like, hi, I'm Craig. She just walks right by him, right up to Shep. He's like, oh. What's wrong with my sewing?
So it's time for dinner, and you know, because Thomas goes out to ring the slave bell. Thanks, Thomas. Really, really great entrance into the show. So he rings the... Someone said, sorry. You know, with the show, like, tonight, there's not only the people... Look, all the people in this show that we're making fun of are here, and I don't just mean the front row. All of you are the people... So thank you for being so kind.
Yeah.
You can kick Ben's ass after the show.
Yeah. It's my fault.
So they all go in for dinner, and Shep's like, oh my God, there's a zebra on the floor. There's an actual dead zebra that someone has skinned alive and garced all over the floor. Wow, Thomas, whoa. He's like, my decorator insisted.
Worked at a fine establishment called the Z Gallery.
I love to entertain. I love to have it served so you don't have to worry about all those... You've got a fucking zebra on the floor. Clean it up. Waiter.
That was a really important stance to take. Thank you. So...
That's not okay, okay? We're still doing that with cows and stuff, but zebras? So have you ever seen a zebra with a baby? I have, because I have Facebook. No. How dare you?
So they're all making idle chatter, and then Shep's like, gosh, Thomas! Someone is like, hey, so Thomas, like, how many horses are in your stall right now? And Shep's like, gosh! Is that a euphemism? How many horses are in your stall right now?
Yeah,
and Thomas is like... You just see Craig being like, what's a euphemism?
And why are the horses stalling?
Is the horse okay? Does it have a bad euphemism?
I like that Thomas doesn't answer. He's like, well, there's room for 10. Like, okay, so everyone's pretending they paid
attention. 10 horses and 1 water buffalo. Ashley, oh, big applause in the front. Big applause in the front. Chutzy.
You can hear the sound of the water buffaloes coming from the 10 buffalo stable right about now.
What, Chutzy?
Oh, I have to say, I've been wanting to do this for many months, and I want to just indulge me for a moment. Take a good look, Catherine, because I'm not going anywhere.
Look at this.
You know when she had that show? Oh, the reunion. Well, I mean, what is that? That girl is like a suicide bomber. I don't even know what she was thinking. So at the reunion when she goes and she's like, people make fun of me for flicking my hair, so it would be great.
yeah, flicking your hair.
I have
never been more proud of this show.
I was like, what?
It's a fine moment for all of us as a community. Guys.
Okay, so...
Wait, hey, Catherine, do you want to show everyone how to properly flick your hair? There's a staircase right here. Come on up. Yes.
I told you.
That's how you do it.
Taco stand hair flick. Did you see it?
Oh, you missed it. We heard you went to a taco stand. Our Uber driver told us. Our Uber driver showed us a picture he took of you two. You went to a taco stand. It's very exciting.
She's like, I don't know.
It was photoshopped.
Thanks. So Cameron just decides to fuck up this dinner party, and I love that she does this every time she goes there. She's like, guys, I have a question. I have quotation mark eyes. I'm like, uh-oh, something troublesome's coming. So she asks the Gone with the Wind question. She's like, who would be right for Thomas, Scarlett or Melanie? And they're like, what?
Confession, I've never seen Gone with the Wind. I was like, is that the Spice Girl, Melanie? I'm sorry.
Ben is officially the straightest person in this room. No offense. No offense.
I'm a Yankee. I like watch like Woody Allen or whatever.
I'm a Yankee. What are you trying to get us fucking killed? Can we just get through this show?
I'm just trying to be emotionally honest.
Ben is like, I will eat radishes again. I will eat. Was that what it was, radishes? I watched it as a young gay, as we should. Because I had elder gays who took me to gay college and showed me things like Gone with the Wind. And the internet. Okay, so they're like, who the fuck is Scarlett What's-a-Buns? And Thomas, of course, knows. And so he comes out in his true Thomas fashion. He's like, huh, why would he want some boring woman like Melanie? Look, here's how I look at it. Melanie Mayer hands.
Melanie Mayer
hands. Melanie is in a property that this government has developed called No Bona. Then you take the Ravenel trolley over the Ravenel Bridge under the Ravenel Lake and past the Cooper dump truck station. Sorry. Around Limehouse Grill. And then you see the cul-de-sac known as Scarlett O'Hara. Bona. They're like, who the fuck are you talking about? Where are you building things, Thomas?
And then he's like, now, would you want a Rhett or an Ashley? And I'm like, wow, he's already questioning Ashley 5 years before they even met. Thomas, I just feel like you just aren't taking it seriously anymore. Who's Rhett?
Now, would you want a Rhett or an Ashley? Because Rhett, what a pussy. Why would Scarlett go for that wimp of a man? And Cameron's like, because he had a job, a house, and refused to be on TV. I mean, that's why I married him. That is actual advice to take, everybody. Yeah. So thank Cameron for that.
So Thomas is like right near JD, and he's like, see, I almost did like JD. I'm like, when the world is turned upside down, people like Ashley Wills go straight to the bottom. And people like Rhett Butler, like this guy,
JD,
we go straight to the top.
But you know, like in that analogy, you're on the bottom of the, like you're at the bottom of the tank. So when it gets turned upside down, you go the other way, which now is just an upturned tank. Like he's just lost me with this whole thing.
Whatever, they both have mugshots, so whatever.
Some call them mugshots and some call them availability of a professional photographer.
Some are called...
Who am I to judge?
Unwanted glamour shots.
So then Shep, he's like totally into Thomas's bullshit. He's like, gosh, Jenna. Hey, Jenna, I like avocados. Maybe I should move to California. Okay, I'm gonna show you some braille avocados, Jenna. Oh, a swing.
She's like, why is my hand wet? He's like, oh, I actually had a beer can down there.
You know the sad part is there are actually people who have moved to California because they're like, I like avocados. And then California is full of a lot of people like that. Why'd you move to California? I like avocados.
Jenna's like, you want to bet? Like, I bet I'm never going to sleep with you. And he's like, oh, gosh. That's the dumbest bet I've ever heard. It's obvious you want to kiss me. I'm like, just because she's in here like this does not mean she necessarily wants to kiss you. She just had a lemon, that's all.
She's like, guys in Charleston have no game. And by game, I mean airplanes. So she's like, I'm bored. And Thomas is like, oh, she said she is in downtown Boulder, Pennsylvania with you. And Shep is like, look, this is all I've got, all right? If you don't want it, then forget it. She's like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't want it. Forget it. He's like, okay, let me try again. Have I mentioned avocados?
What are your thoughts on guacamole? Gosh, that's avocados mashed together.
She's like, end game. That would have ended this whole storyline. So Cameron's like, Thomas, forgive me for overstepping, but do you think that your reputation... He's like, make people think I'm a philandering criminal. She's like, ah! Yes! Finally, someone who can hear my inner voice. He's like, yes, and that's why they'll vote for me. She's like, I'm so into this.
And then he utters his famous line, I didn't have a problem with cocaine. I just like the smell of it. It's kind of an amazing like, line.
What? He can't joke about cocaine. How's he going to resuscitate his career if he's talking about cocaine? Cocaine! Cocaine!
The touch, the feel, the smell of cocaine.
Of cocaine.
Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's cocaine.
got cocaine.
I can think of like no advertising slogans right now.
Time cocaine. To make the cocaine.
Just do it. That's like all I can think about. Nike. That is sad.
Where's the cocaine?
Where's the cocaine?
Two old ladies. Where's the cocaine?
Cocaine. Coke for less. So everything's a Ross joke. Okay. Do you guys have Ross Dress for Less here? But I was looking up an Old Navy here because I didn't wash my pants in time. Can't wait for you to smell them.
Hashtag Gwyn's. Hashtag
and
Gwyn's.
It was like a far way away. So thanks a lot, jerks.
That was very poetic of you.
I know, right? I
Ross learned was far it from way away.
Red Butler, who first came here in his Old Navy jeans before 1800.
So then, this was back in the time when Bravo would put in these really annoying, like, 45-second clips out of nowhere in between commercials. So in the middle of this whole scene, suddenly it's like T-Rap saying, let's go skinny dipping. Let's do that. This is civil. At which point, like, we got what we always dreamed of, but not in the way we wanted it, which was him finally taking off the white pants. But, like, we didn't actually need to see the act of the white pants coming off, you know? Him getting all... dad bod Ravenel in the water.
I ain't judging a dad bod. That's like my goal weight. Okay? I'm going for dad bod, but keep your clothes on. Yeah. And all the girls were like, too. They were like, no, please don't. Please don't. That moose knuckle is about to unleash. You know, don't do it. Do not release the Kraken. So they jump in with their clothes on. Bravo has an obsession. Whenever they have a show about the South, they're like, look how people jump in dirty water. Because it happens in Savannah, and I think they jump in the water in New Orleans, don't they?
Anywhere.
A lot of dirty water jumping.
Yeah.
Where are we? What else happens here? We're almost at the end. Did they swim and that's it?
So now everyone's skinny dipped.
Oh, Whitney's going to lecture him.
So Whitney's like, all right, mother, sit down. Let's talk about this. He's like, you really need to get past this Playboy persona you have. And Thomas is like, immediately he's like, shwing. Well,
may your hands.
I would like to make this country great by hanging out with cute girls with tight asses. That's so much to ask.
To thine own self be true. And as night follows day, thou canst speak false to another day. That is Macbeth!
To thine own self, thou hast thou mayoreth handeth.
To thine own pillow fill goes a sleeping bag so your hooker does not get cold in the night. That is Macbeth!
Mooseth knuckleth.
Isn't it great? Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? That is the Little Mermaid! That is the Little Mermaid!
What do you call them? Moose knuckleth?
Why do people quote Macbeth? That did not end well.
Yeah.
Which ended up being fitting in the situation. So Thomas, or Whitney's like, in this climate, which is so funny that he put it this way. It's like, this climate, you just can't talk about cocaine. Let's just get a bunch of whores in mini dresses to dance around you to ogle for your political ad campaign.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, if we only saw the pages turning in the era book.
And so set off a million terrible decisions over the next 5 years on Southern Charm.
Yes. That brings us to the end.
That was the end. You guys.
This was a terrifying show.
Terrifying. My heart
was
racing.
We've been scared. We've been having, like when I was a waiter, I would have dreams. Thanks, guys. Thanks, South. Just kidding. I would have dreams where there's just like a million tables and I can't do anything and I'm just powerless and I'm just stuck with baskets of bread and I don't know where they go and everybody hates me. We've had the equivalent of that dream, I think, 20 times this week. and you guys have given us the best time.
Yes.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You. Thank you, Charleston. Thank you, Southern Charmers.
Thank
Michael,
you,
Patricia,
Southern
Catherine.
We love you.
Turn your distractions off and discover your new favorite podcast. This is Bose Recommends.
My name is Dr. Rangan Chatterjee. I'm a GP, author, TV presenter, and host of the Feel Better, Live More podcast. I'm delighted that my podcast has been chosen to be part of the Bose Recommends series. On it, I bring you simple and achievable health advice, as well as inspiring stories that will help you to become the architect of your own health. When you feel better, you live more. You can listen and subscribe on Acast, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app.
Enjoy your new favorite podcast without distractions. Discover how at Bose.co.uk. Bose. Focus on.